Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the press. Welcome to the third men's major of the year. It's the U.S. Open at Shinnecock Hills Golf Club. We got a full preview for you of the third men's major of the year. We're going to talk everything about the golf course. We'll talk about our favorites. We'll talk about our model. We'll talk about everything. Get you ready for the U.S. Open. Thanks for being here with us. I'm Ryan Ballingy. We're going to have a fun one here. We haven't done shows in the last couple of weeks because there's been a little bit of movement in my own house. So I've been moving my son from his bedroom down to the basement where my office is up here into where you see me today, temporary space. And then as that kind of transition over the next couple of weeks, I'll have a new studio for the show. So apologies for that. However, we want to make sure you get everything you can get out of this U.S. Open. I think it's going to be an interesting week. So let's dig in. U.S. Open played this year at Shinnecock Hills Golf Club, sixth time hosting. It's one of the more venerable, one of the older venues, one of the originals organizations of the USGA, one of the original clubs back in 1895. Still not hosted as much as Oakmont. Oakmont's the all-timer, but Shinnecock is probably the best venue of the rotation, in my opinion. Certainly in modern times, it is. Last hosted in 2018. It's in Southampton, New York, so basically two-thirds of the way, halfway-ish, into Long Island. Traffic's going to be a nightmare. That's why I'm not there, among other reasons. William Flynn is the architect. He's done a variety of clubs. This is his masterpiece. It's a par 70. It's going to play 7,440 yards on the scorecard this year. USGA will change that. We'll talk about that a little bit later. 156-player field. You have about 50-ish qualifiers through the final qualifying. The rest are exempt through different reasons. Expected purse, $21.5 million this year. Same as the last 2 years. That may go up. They will announce that over the weekend, but 20% goes to the winner. 750 FedEx Cup points to the champion and 100 official world golf ranking points to the winner as well. Winner gets a lot of things out of this. 10-year exemption to the U.S. Open, 5-year exemption to the other three majors, 5-year PGA Tour exemption, 5-year exemption to the Players' Championship. You get a lot of other goodies out of it as well, but you know that's the kind of high-end type stuff. All right, let's dig in on the betting odds. Again, 156-player field. We're not going to go through everybody here. There are lots of folks with 4 and 5,000 to 1 odds. We'll show them out of respect for them making this tournament. It's really hard to do, but there's no right-minded person who's going to bet them. So let's look at the top of the table, then we'll get into the model. So Scottie Scheffler's 5.5 to 1, McIlroy 12 to 1, John Rahm 13 to 1. You know, those are going to be your headline names. Rahm has been the most consistent player on LIV this year. He also last year played a great PGA Championship, had everyone fooled, and then Oakmont stunk. And I'm wondering if the same thing is going to happen this year. Played great at the PGA Championship. Does he stink? We'll see. It's hard for me to bet that guy, even though he is a U.S. Open champion. And just to say, my theory of the case this week is that Shinnecock is built for specialists, is built for U.S. Open specialists. That's why I'm probably going to bet Bryson DeChambeau this week. I'm waffling one. I probably will bet him, get him to the card in the end. Whether that price is the right price or not is up to, I guess, your definition of value. But I think Shinnecock will appeal to guys who like rough, tough U.S. Opens. Think about the last two guys to win here. Retief Goosen in 2004. Phil Mickelson was the runner-up, by the way. He loves U.S. Opens, just never won one. And then Brooks Koepka in 2018, a back-to-back U.S. Open champion. So you would expect, I think, this venue to hold up to those types of standards. Ray Floyd before that, you know, before Corey Pavin. But Ray Floyd also rough and tough kind of guy. Who can stand up to a really difficult test. You got to be really strong on this golf course mentally to not give in because there's a lot of pressure on every shot, and you've got to be able to kind of withstand that for 4 days. Cam Young's 20 to 1. Do you think about him being a New York guy, you know, Sleepy Hollow? Maybe you go there. I think a lot of people are going to be on Matt Fitzpatrick, 21 to 1, and deservedly so. Seems like the tough setups. He's playing well. It didn't have a great Memorial, which is a U.S. Open light setup, but everything else looked very good. Tommy Fleetwood's been playing very well, had a putt for 62 here in 2018, which I still think is incredible, not talked up enough about. I will probably bet Xander Schauffele at 22 to 1. I think he's kind of built for something like this. I think he's been a guy who's threatened to win the U.S. Open a number of different times. Seems to kind of be not in the same form as around the Masters, but pretty good form, I think. There's Bryson at 30 to 1. A lot of people are going to bet Brooks Koepka at 35 to 1, which I think is an insane number given what's happened this year. Why wouldn't you go after it? You're not going to go after Wyndham Clark because the penalty for missing here is so severe. It sounds like yes, the widths of the fairways are the same, if not a little bit bigger than 2018. However, the penalty for missing is going to be enormous, like it was in 2018. 5-inch, 6-inch rough could break your wrist. You're going to have to kind of whack it out back to the fairway kind of type stuff. So for Wyndham Clark, yes, he has showed, including at Memorial, that he can get the ball in play. But if it's a big risk to take on him if he doesn't keep it in play. He could just as easily miss the cut here. Sam Burns is playing okay, 40-1. Again, played a venue he liked last week at TPC Toronto. Siwoo Kim's having the best year of his career. I don't know. You don't bet him at 45-1. Tyrrell Hatton seems to like the U.S. Open, 46-1. Patrick Reed's going to go under the radar this week at 50-1. He loves this kind of stuff. He loves this annoying crap. You know, very windy conditions, very tough, kind of knocks half the field out before you even show up to the first tee. He hasn't played a lot of golf, but you know it's in there. He played okay at the PGA. I think he's an interesting number. Chris Goddard up 50-1. I just think he's fallen out of it. Patrick Cantlay's playing good golf lately. You'll see that in slides later on in the show. Justin Rose is playing better, but I think this place will eat his lunch. If he misses off the tee at all, he's in deep trouble. And I'm not convinced he's dialed in with those McLaren golf irons yet, although he has been playing better. I will give him that. J.J. Spaun's been playing well. He doesn't want to give up his trophy, but he did it at Oakmont. So what am I supposed to say? You can't do it. This is the one and two toughest venues in the U.S. Open rotation. Playing well. There's a reason to bet him, but the odds of him going back-to-back are pretty scarce. After that, you know, I think Minwoo Lee is kind of interesting because of his length, and I just want to give a shout-out. I'm not going to bet him, but Adam Scott's playing his 100th consecutive major championship this week. That is amazing. There are only two people in the history of golf who have done that. Jack Nicklaus, who played in, I think it was 154 in a row, and Adam Scott. So salute to him. Not going to bet him, but salute to him. Let's look at the model top 10. All right. These numbers are a little inflated because we look for comp tournaments. Those are the majors and the players. In my model, we're looking at results in the last 10. We're looking at results in the last three U.S. Opens. Put all that together, here's who you get. Scottie Scheffler, number one, far and away. Scottie, 3.23 points is pretty good. Not his all-time high, but pretty good. Rory McIlroy, solid second. John Rahm, third. Tyrrell Hatton, fourth. Bryson DeChambeau, fifth. So those three LIV players, they don't get their regular LIV strokes gained included in this. I don't know how to weight them, even after all this time, and I still don't really see much value in them. But when they show up to these things, they do play pretty well. Kind of helps their average, but I think it's an indication of their ability. Xander Schauffele is sixth, Patrick Reed seventh, Russ Henley eighth, Tommy Fleetwood ninth, and Ludvig Åberg 10th. I don't think any of those are particularly surprising. I don't think a lot of people are going to bet Ludvig because he can't close. I haven't seen him close, and I'm not willing to bet that he's going to close this time. Tommy Fleetwood, I think a lot of people should be on this week. Russell Henley, I just don't think has the game for this particular setup, but he's also won at Bay Hill, which would be a slap in the face to that idea, I guess. So maybe I just have a bias against him. More betting odds. All right, let's get into the guys in like the 90-100-1 range. Again, we're not going to go through everybody here. Aaron Rye, the PGA champion, is 110-1. So is Alex Fitzpatrick, who's playing just as good a golf as pretty much anybody in the world right now. I'm not saying he's going to win, but why would you not be interested in that guy? I think Christopher Wrighton at 120-1 is super interesting. He's long. He's strong. He can handle a tough setup. I really like what he brings to the table here this week. I think he'd be a great long shot pick. Ryan Gerard's been playing great golf, 130-1. His game travels pretty much everywhere. A buddy of mine loves Cam Smith this week at 151. I kind of push back on that, saying if he hits it, the driver, the way that he did the PGA Championship and got away with it, he will not get away with it at Shinnecock. I think it's going to be a big, big struggle for him this week unless he can just find a way to get the ball in the fairway. Anybody else here? Jackson Kuvoin, last event as an amateur. He is going to be special. I just don't think he's someone you bet yet. He's going to be professional next week, and he is going to be so good, but maybe not yet. Ryan Fox had a really good title defense last week at TPC Toronto. Not the best year he's ever had, of course. Last year, that was it, but kind of an interesting number at 190-1. Doesn't jump out at you, but somehow Ryan Fox is the U.S. Open champion come Sunday. Just remember, we at least mentioned it. Daniel Berger was in the final group here 8 years ago. Wound up shooting 73, lost to Brooks Koepka. I don't think he's that same player now, but it is kind of interesting how things rhyme. After that, I think you have a hard time picking really anybody else on this list. Ben James made a great professional debut last week at TPC Toronto. He is going to do very well on the PGA Tour. However, let's just leave well enough alone and say good job on your debut. After that, you're really, really in reach territory here. You know, Matt Wallace, 351, Hao Tong Lee, 350-1. You're going to kind of struggle there a little bit. Then you get into your like mega long shots, guys that your name might be recognizable, but you are not playing well for whatever reason. You know, guys like Miliano Grillo, 525-1. Usad is actually, I think, very interesting. I'm glad that he's playing this. He doesn't have a chance, but he's 1,000-1. What about Toasty, 1,500-1? Zach Blair's been playing well in the Corn Ferry Tour, 1,250-1. Miles Russell is 18 years old, and he is going to barely 18. He's 1,000-1. Better odds than a guy like Peter Uihlein, a guy like Patrick Harrington. I mean, I find that fascinating. Unbettable. Just kind of want to show you the numbers. I think they're interesting. And then here are kind of some additional super mega, oh my God, long shots. You know, guys can't believe they're in the field. Guys that got called in. Jackson Harrington's played pretty okay. Showed okay for himself in a couple, you know, one event on the PGA Tour. But these are guys you're just not going to bet. Just want to show them to you because they deserve the respect for being in the field. Let's talk about Shinnecock. I played Shinnecock in 2018 for the preview day for the U.S. Open back then. It's pretty much the same course now. Not that different, a little bit, but not crazy. 74-40 on the card, par 70, two par 5s, four par 3s, 12 par 4s. This is a tough, tough golf course. The par 3s, I think, are the best set of par 3s in the world. 7 and 11 are incredible. 17 is a great hole, really challenging hole. And then number two, like just a kick in the teeth, long par three, like good luck. Number one is not particularly difficult. It's a nice little warm-up hole. I mean, the landing area is pretty wide, but the green is no bargain. The par fives are not particularly easy. Not only are they long, but also they are just a bear, and it's going to be so windy. I mean, we don't have a weather slide for this, but the weather is supposed to be particularly nasty. Highs around 75 or 80 every day, which that's great in terms of how the players are going to feel, but the wind is going to be pretty tough. On Thursday, steady 20, getting up to 30 throughout the course of the day. Friday, overcast, potential rain in the morning, which could be a good thing if that becomes more definitive. You may want to think about the late early wave there. If you can survive the wind in Thursday afternoon, then you might get the reward of Friday softer. However, if it rains enough, I would actually do the opposite. Then I would do Thursday early, Friday late in terms of wave coverage, because Thursday has less wind earlier in the day. Friday, if it rains enough, it might still be kind of soft and the wind will be about the same. Saturday, Sunday, wind is about 15 to 20 miles per hour. On Sunday out of the west, on Saturday out of the west, southwest, just like on Friday. So the way you're going to play 18, the wind is going to come toward the clubhouse. It's going to want to pull the ball to the right. So it should be very interesting. The wind is going to be a huge defense here. And I think that makes you think about guys who are high ball hitters. As you look to tee it high, let it fly. That may not work so well here if you're playing into the wind. So you're going to have to think long and hard about that. I think that's a reason why a lot of people shouldn't bet Rory McIlroy this week. I can completely understand how he could win and everything can change. But I think you got to really think about wind as a factor here this week. It's an important factor this week, maybe above most weeks. Green speeds are not going to be crazy, 11.5, 12 on the stimp meter. But with the way these greens slope, they're going to be way quicker than that in a lot of places. Like get up to like 15, 16 on the stimp meter in certain places. There are not a lot of friendly spots to miss on this golf course. If you miss, you're in deep trouble. You're probably looking at a bogey or worse, especially in the par threes. There's no real good bailouts. So good luck to everybody out there. This is one of the best rounds I've ever played, not because of the number. I mean, I think it was like a 78. But that day, those conditions, it was still pretty windy, and it was a tough golf course. I was very proud of what I did that day. Hot hands. All right, we don't have a lot of these guys, right? Not a lot of time between the PGA Championship here. There weren't a lot of guys playing before the Masters or after, between the Masters and the PGA Championship, trying to balance that out. Also, guys trying to balance out playing between the PGA and here because they didn't really want to play in Texas, want to play Memorial because they have Travelers next week. So not a lot of guys on this list. Wyndham Clark's been playing great. He's been playing great pretty much all over the place in terms of friendly setups for his driver. Not so friendly setups for his driver. He's done pretty well in both. And TPC Toronto is in between. Again, really comes down to what he can do with that club that determines whether he has a chance here. A number of guys, Matt Fitzpatrick, Tommy Fleetwood, Ryan Gerard, Max Graceman, Ben Griffin, Siwoo Kim, Rory McIlroy, Justin Rose, Scotty Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, Alex Smalley, JJ Spawn, Justin Thomas. They're playing generally well. I don't think any of that is a surprise to people. Any of those names, really, other than Alex Smalley, who's acquitted himself very well this year, and Max Graceman, perhaps. But Ryan Gerard's game travels everywhere. We've been over that again and again. Fitzpatrick loves this kind of stuff. Rory, Xander, Scotty, JT, you know, they're kind of generational level players. So you expect them to pretty much show up anytime. Look at the past champions here. Going back to 2020 when they had this at Wingfoot in September. Bryson DeChambeau, John Rahm at Torrey, Matt Fitzpatrick at the Country Club in Massachusetts. One of the tougher setups, if it wasn't the longer one, but it was a tough one. Wyndham Clark at LACC, which I think should be thrown out. It's not really a true U.S. Open setup. You got the 10 under par. That just doesn't happen. Bryson DeChambeau won again at Pinehurst number two in a more classic setup, just kind of impossible. Birdie conditions, pars are great. JJ Spawn won in a Oakmont U.S. Open. That's about as high of a compliment as I can pay you. Really not necessarily a comp to all of these players, right? Matt Fitzpatrick's long enough, but he's not mega long. JJ Spawn's not particularly long, kept it in play and was incredible with the putter and irons when it mattered the most. Bryson's style is just bomb and gouge. Hit the crap out of it, go find it, and hopefully it's in a good spot. I think that can work here with his strength, but there isn't just run-ups on all of these holes. So he's going to have to play the par threes pretty well. I think that can be a stumbling block for him. If I'm trying to talk myself out of betting Bryson DeChambeau this week, that would be it. All right, short-term form. One of my favorite things we do on the show. Looking at the last 10 PGA tournaments, we want to look at three different categories of statistic. Where are you doing strokes gained total? Are you averaging 1.5 strokes gained or 1.3 strokes gained total per round? I don't care how you do it. I don't care if it's off the tee, irons, whatever. I care how you're doing it, not how you're doing it. And then quality strokes gained. That's a measure of strokes gained is multiplied by the quality of your competition is measured by the official World Golf Ranking. So if you're playing in a major, you're strokes gained are multiplied by 2. If you're playing in a weaker event where it's like 40 points to the first place winner, you get 0.8 of those strokes gained. See what I mean? So I want to know, are you beating not only golf courses, but are you beating your competition? And the better competition, the more I regard that. So strokes gained total here on the left, a lot of players, right? Patrick Reed, Rory McIlroy, Xander Schauffele, Cam Young, Tyrrell Hatton, Ludwig Aubert, Joaquin Niemann, David Pooge, John Rahm. A lot of live guys. I kind of took them off the other ones, but I wanted to at least highlight them here. Matt and Alex Fitzpatrick, Xander Schauffele, Wyndham Clark, and Brooks Koepka does make the list. He is playing pretty well. It's the putting that's really screwing him over. Also, we don't know what's going on with that hand, so I'm kind of worried about that. Quality strokes gained. So, less exposure here for Patrick Reed, really not playing the PGA Tour, of course. He's playing the majors and whatever else he feels like showing up to, which isn't much. But he leads that list because he played so well at the PGA. Rory McIlroy, Cam Young, Scotty Scheffler, Ludwig, Xander Schauffele, Cam Smith. Again, good run at the PGA Championship. Matt Fitzpatrick, Colin Morikawa, Russell Henley, Sam Burns, Alex Fitzpatrick, Brooks Koepka, Wyndham Clark, and Jake Knapp. So Wyndham Clark's kind of on the fringes. He's not doing it against great competition all the time, but he is doing it. So there is something to be said for that. And then totally separately, just looking at guys who are doing well on the approach, 0.6 strokes gained on the approach per round. That leads me to believe you can at least get it tight. It's just something else is going wrong, whether that's driving the golf ball, whether that's chipping and putting, whatever that is. But those are things that could be corrected and tend to have more variability than your quality as an iron player. Alex Fitzpatrick, top of the table. I mean, he's just playing great iron golf. Adam Scott, JJ Spawn playing great. Koepka, great iron game. Again, comes down to the short game. Ludwig Aubert, Tom Kim, Rory McIlroy, Cam Young, Scotty Scheffler. And usually Scheffler would be up there, but he's struggling a little bit. Patrick Reed, Matt Fitzpatrick, Ryan Gerard, Kurt Kitayama. So a lot of common names here. Patrick Cantlay would have been on the quality strokes gained list, but he just missed it by like 1/100th of a point. I want to point that out. All right. This is a slide for those of you who love kind of top 20, 30, 40, 10, top 10 bets even. We want to know strokes gained tee to green players who have low variance. So they're reliable, tee to green. Putting is your variable most weeks on the PGA Tour. It's going to be this week. Everyone's going to struggle putting. So, you know, landing in the right places is going to matter more than can you putt the putts. If you have a really tough putt, you're going to three putt regardless. If you have a makeable putt, all right, then your skill might matter. But even then, that might not help you in the long haul. You know, average it all together. So these are guys I expect to play well tee to green regardless of the golf course. Rory McIlroy, Scottie Scheffler, Patrick Reed, Brooks Koepka. Again, driver can be a little wonky, but the iron play, if you've seen, is good. Matt and Alex Fitzpatrick, Tommy Fleetwood, Cam Young, Siwoo Kim. And we know Siwoo Kim struggles with putting. We know Cam Young's rapidly improved his putting this year. It seems to kind of have a little bit of a coming back to the mean a little bit of late. And Tommy Fleetwood has been playing very, very good golf. So we don't have a ton of data for Alex Fitzpatrick, so that kind of sways this a little bit. I look at the last 30 events for this graphic. Obviously, he's not been a PGA Tour member for 30 events. And then, for those of you also who love the top 10, 20, 40 bets, I like looking at how often a player top 20s. And if you're top 20 more than 45% of the time, last 50 events of those that you played, I think you're one of those more consistent players you want to look at. And you're going to see a lot of the names we've talked about in this show. You know, bad value bets like Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Tommy Fleetwood. But what about a guy like Siwoo? Wouldn't be a bad play for a top 20. What about a Rick Fowler? Do you go, if you want to bet Koepka, maybe you do three bets. Maybe you do a win, a 10, and a 20 with him or something like that. I think he'd be an interesting play there. Ben Griffin, I think, is interesting. And Kitayama, I think, is interesting as a top 20. Everybody else, I don't really consider much of a value, but at least wanted to kind of make you aware of that. All right, I think that's everything. You know, I've tried to kind of get this down to a science where we get through stuff quickly, don't waste time, just kind of tell you the nuts and bolts, give you the information, and then you can decide with it what you will. I will post in the show descriptions, not only on YouTube and at Golf News Net for the video side, but also on the podcasting services, whether that's Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever. I will post a link to the slideshow that I use for the graphics on this, so you can have all of that information available to you. I think it's pretty useful, and otherwise no one gets to use it. So I want to make it available for you if you're listening. Hopefully you can enjoy that and get some use out of it. So I'll put that in the show description. If you want to join Golf News Net, do so for $40 for 1 year, $70 for 2 years, or $100 for 3 years. Get access to all of our tools, full field modeling, all the data that we post every week. You know, try to keep it simple. I try to keep my approach very simple. I think that's the best way to do this. I know that there are some folks who have great tools that go so far in depth that I think it almost is too far in depth, but there's going to be some value this week in knowing guys who are good win players. So shout out to Ron Kloss and his rabbit hole. If you want to go use that and get really in the weeds, particularly for a tournament like this, you know, I'm not going to begrudge you at all, but I like our simple approach. It's done very well over the years. If you have questions, email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com, or you can find me or Golf News Net on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at either Ryan Ballingy Golf or Golf News Net. Thank you so much for your time, whether you're watching or listening. Appreciate it. Good luck with all your bets this week, and we will talk to you next week right here on The Press.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.